Welcome to Time and Space Limited presents TSL Radio Theater. Each week features the original radio and performance works of Linda Musman, performed by Claudia Bruce and members of TSL's theater company from over the years. Today's presentation is Linda Musman's adaptation of Georg Büchner's novella Lenz, translated by Hedwig Rapolt and performed by Claudia Bruce and Semi Frangiolu.
In 1980-81, following the residency at La Mama Theater Company on the Lower East Side, we returned to the storefront where we continued to work on radical techniques applied to the voice for the stage. Semi Frangiolu was a musician who worked with us at that time and helped construct the soundscapes that accompanied the vocal design that I created for Claudia Bruce, who performed the work. I had previously scored many texts, some abstract and some narrative, such as Danton's death. In 1980, I had seen a performance of Schoenberg's Pierre Lunaire at the Guggenheim Museum. This event influenced my thinking about designing for text, and I set out to construct my performance pieces using the Sprechstimme style. Büchner's novella Lenz was perfect for this. Lenz was created for Claudia Bruce and her amazing vocal ability. Our storefront performance space was lined with corrugated roofing tin from my mother and father's barn in Indiana. It had blown off during the second tornado. We hauled it back to New York City in and on top of our Volkswagen bus. Lining the space with the rusted tin made the space sound cavernous and acted as an amplifier for the performance.
For that performance, we stripped down the piano, and Semi played it with picks and paintbrushes, creating sounds and music to accompany the radical voice work. Lenz was the third of Büchner's existing works and was based on 20 days that Jakob Michael Reinhold Lenz spent with the social reformer and psychologist Pastor Oberlin in Alsace. During those days, Oberlin documented Lenz's struggle with paranoid schizophrenia. The account was published, and Büchner based his story on that report. And that's where Linda got her idea to do this Sprechstimme opera performance.
The novella Lenz is a landmark study of schizophrenia, informed by Büchner's scientific knowledge and his study of Pastor Oberlin's failed attempts to help Lenz through his religious consultation. Büchner writes of Lenz's existential crisis. He is afflicted by a terrible boredom and filled with hopelessness.
Georg Büchner preceded Samuel Beckett by more than 150 years, by the way.
This selection is from a performance in TSL's storefront studio on 22nd Street in Chelsea, New York. And I wanted to read a piece from the original text. This is the beginning. On the 20th of January, Lenz walked across the mountains, the summits and high slopes covered with snow, down toward the valleys, gray stone faces, green inclines, rocks and pines. It was cold and wet. Water trickled down the rocks and leapt across the way. Pine branches hung heavy in the damp air. In the sky, gray clouds were drifting, but everything so close. And then the fog steamed up and billowed heavy and moist through the brush, so sluggish, so plump. He walked on, indifferent, not concerned about the way. Now uphill, now downhill, he felt no tiredness. But now and then he found it unpleasant that he could not walk on his head.
Lenz is considered the first psychological drama. And the amazing thing is that Georg Büchner died when he was 23 years old. He also wrote his great drama, Danton's Death, which we've talked about before. He wrote a comedy called Léonce and Lina. And he also wrote a fragment of a drama, that's all that's left, Wojciech. So he was quite a prolific writer for such a young man.
For this particular piece, Claudia's vocal techniques were used to construct this spoken opera. And here's Claudia to talk about that.
Linda was in the process of looking for ways to present work that would, in a way, destroy the linear aspect of the work so that you could think about the pieces in another way. And this was in her period where she was designing the texts in tones and ways of moving the voice up and down, in steps, straight across, loud, soft, using all the ways that she could think of to present a text in a different way. So Lentz was perhaps one of the best ways for her to do this at this point because of the density of the text and the fact that Semi and I were working together on many, many things at the time, and my vocal style and his musical abilities meshed in this piece and became a signature piece of Time and Space Limited at that time. When Linda began working on Buchner, the translations that were available were not suitable for what she was looking for. And we had a wonderful friend whose name was Hedwig Rapolt, who was a translator. And Hedwig translated both Danton's Death and Lentz and Wojciech and Leon Senlina for use by TSL. So it was a new translation that we use for all of these productions.
The of January Lentz walked across the mountains, the summits and the valley's gray stone faces, green inclines, rocks and pines. It was cold and wet, water trickled down the rocks and leapt across the way. Pine branches hung heavy in the damp air. In the sky, gray clouds were drifting. But everything so close. And then the fog steamed up. Billowed heavy and moist through the brush, so sluggish, so then again, part of the mighty loom. And her choice. everything was so small to lens, so near, so wet. Lens would have liked to place the earth behind the stone. Lens did not understand why it took him so long to climb down a slope to reach a distant point. Lance thought Lance should be able to measure everything with a few steps, only at times. When the storm hurled clouds into the valleys and steam rose up into the forest and voices awakened on the rock faces, no like distantly fading thunder, no coming near with a mighty roar. Though they wanted to sing praises to the earth in wild exultation, and the clouds came charging like wild neighing steeds, and the sunshine broke through between them and came to draw its glittering sword along the snow-covered slopes so that a bright, dazzling light cut across the summits into the forest. Oh, when the storm drove the clouds downward, seizing a limpid blue lake on the way. And then the wind died down and hummed upward from the deep gorges, from the tops of the pines. And a soft red reached up to a deep blue, and little clouds drifted by on silver wings. And all the mountain peaks, sharp and ridged, gleamed and flashed far. Something tore inside his chest. He stood panting, his body bent over, eyes and mouth wide open. He felt he had to draw the storm into his body, contain it all within him. He spread himself wide and lay on top of the earth. He dug into the universe. It was a lust that hurt. Orland stood still.
and rested his head on the moss. And half closed his eyes. And then things drifted. Far from him. The earth gave way under him. Became small like a wandering star. And immersed itself. In a rushing stream. Whose clear waters. Surged. Beneath him. But these were only moments. And then Lance rose, sober, firm, calm, as though a shadow play had passed in front of him. Toward evening, Lance reached the highest point of the mountain chain, the snowfield from where one had to climb down again to the plain in the west. Lance sat down at the summit. And everything so still, gray, dusky. Lance began to feel the terror of loneliness. Lance was alone, all alone. Lance wanted to talk to himself, but
Lance could not. Lance hardly dared to breathe. Lance had to sit down. Lance was gripped by a nameless fear. In this, no. Lance was in the Lord. Lance tore himself loose and flew down the
something were following him as though something horrible were going to catch up with him. Something that humans cannot bear, as though horseback were hunting Lance down. At last, he saw lights, he felt relief, he heard voices, he was told it would be another half hour to Vault
Lance walked through the village. Lights were shining through the windows. He looked in while passing by. Children at the table, old women, young girls, restful, quiet faces all. It seemed to him that the light must be radiating from them. He was feeling easier, and soon he was at the parsonage in Vault Bach.
Lance went in. Blonde curls framed his pale face. Eyes and mouth twitched. His clothes were torn. Oh, Berlin welcomed Lance. Oh, Berlin took Lance for a workman.
Welcome to my house, although you are a stranger to me.
I am a friend of Kaufmann's and bring you his regards.
Your name, if I may gentleman by that name.
Yes, but I beg of you not to judge me by them. They talked on, lands groped for words, and spoke rapidly, but in torment. Gradually he was calmed by the cozy room and the quiet faces that emerged from the shadow. The bright child's face, on which all light seemed to rest, and which looked up in wonder and trust, and the mother sitting in back in the shadow, in angel-like still. National costumes, they crowded round him in sympathy. Soon he felt at home, his pale childlike face smiling now. His lively narration, he calmed down. He felt as though familiar figures, forgotten faces, were stepping out of the dark. Old songs were awakened. Lance was far, far.
Time and Space Limited is a community-based arts organization under the direction of Linda Mussman and Claudia Bruce. Located at 434 Columbia Street in Hudson, New York, TSL provides year-round programming that includes live theater, independent documentary and classic movies, youth programs, simulcasts of the Metropolitan Opera, the National Theater of London, as well as topical forums and community outreach events. To learn more, visit TSL on the web at www.timeandspace.org. And don't forget to tune in to WGXC next Wednesday at 3 p.m. for part 2 of Lents.